you guys can have a seat. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so today's text is the Lord's Prayer. Does anybody know where the Lord's Prayer is in the Bible? Matthew 6. And Luke 11. Okay, there are places in the Bible. It's several places. But here is the question the disciples asked, and it's what we're asking right now tonight. How do you connect to God? How do you connect to God? The disciples wanted to know how to pray. They're asking the question of prayer, but they're really saying, we want to talk to God. And Jesus said, when you pray. Go into your closet. He says all this, don't pray like the Pharisees. You know, they go and they try to be seen by men. They try to get everybody, look how spiritual he is. Look at how wonderful he is. They're so holy. They do different things and it looks good on the outside. But Jesus doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. So don't do what the Pharisees do. He said, when you pray, be different. You go into your closet. Now, okay, I want everybody to do a little exercise for me. Close your eyes, don't close your eyes, whatever. Put yourself in a closet, please. Okay? You're in a closet. Is anybody with me right now? In your closet? Nope. Usually no one's in a closet with you, right? You're by yourself. So why would he instruct you? The first word in the Lord's Prayer is what? Why would you say our when you're in a closet by yourself? Connecting to God. What is that? Okay, come out of your closet. Come out of your closet. For a second. We'll go back in a minute. But isn't that interesting that Jesus said, I want you to go and be alone with God, and I want you to say our. So it's the tendency for us to say my, right? I mean, my Father, God, my God. So that's the first thing I wanted to point out. The second thing he tells us to say is Father. Not any other thing. Not Almighty, not King, not anything but Father. He wants us to pray Father. He said the basis of all prayer is Father. Now, if you don't have the basis of prayer, your mindset will never be in the right place in order to pray God's will. Pray the heart of God. You'll have this false perception of connection to God. You can't go Father. Now, this is a side note I was going to not tell this story, but it's interesting. I was in seminary, and the professor said, okay, this half over here is going to debate this half of the class over here, and the debate is going to be this. Debate is in some instances, it's okay to call God Mother. So guess what team I got put on? The affirmative. I hate affirmative. I don't want to do this. Because it's easy. We got the Lord's Prayer. We got everything else the Bible says. I don't want to be on the other team. Well, I'm telling you, we won the debate. Because I had a smart guy on my team. But listen, can you think about this? When would it be okay to call God Mother? If you just answer that with one word, it's never, right? But you can't do that because some people have a terrible relationship with their father. And when they think of father, the conceptual signifier that they call the thing that it's like what's the first thing that comes in your mind when you hear dog? You may get some kind of golden retriever or a German shepherd or poodle, whatever. Everybody has a different concept of dog, right? Well, when you say father, everybody has a different concept of father. There's a lot of people who are abused by their father. A lot of people have absent fathers. A lot of people have, you know, fathers that never wanted to talk to them or whatever, didn't have one or whatever. So in that sense, we won the debate because we're only saying you got to start there, but you got to end father. We can say mother at first, but you got to go to father. Because if you don't go to father, you don't understand who you are. So you can't pray. Okay, so I'm moving along. That was a good assignment, sorry. Okay, so Father. Now, when Jesus said the word Father, He wasn't, the guys were probably shocked when they heard him say, "Our Father." The first two words, they were shocked. Our what? Father, what? Because the word was actually Abba. Abba is actually means daddy. It's an intimate term for father. So it's actually saying dad. There's a person that came, and Barb may be the only one that knows this in the whole church, that left our church because I had preached this word right here. It's not my word. It's the Bible says, Abba. He called God daddy. She said she never preferred. That's disrespect. God is so, and that's the whole point. Abba, daddy. Remember? Somebody left our church because we would never say daddy to God. And that's the very thing that Jesus is commanding us to do, because he wants us to know how much we love and that we can go to God and ask for anything we want at any time, but there's no order to things. So I told this story on Sunday, or I think I tell the story often, because one of my children came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning and asked me for a glass of water. I said, "Coming right up. Great. Here we go. Wait right here. Come with me. Whatever. I get it." They get the water, right? But if my wife asks me in the middle of the night, "Can you get me some water?" I say, "Why can't you get it yourself?" Right? The point is me, I would do anything for my child. You imagine how much God, who created you, knows everything about you, every amount of hair or lack thereof on your head. He knows everything about you. He loves you. He knows everything. He made you. And he knows you better than yourself, of course, because you like the lack thereof. I know. I got it. But let me tell you, that is the basis of where you have to see yourself as a precious, beloved child of God. If you don't see yourself as a child of God, then you're not going to be in the right frame of mind at all to pray. So Jesus said, "Our Abba, our Abba." And right then, I'm sure they were just blown away, and they only didn't pay attention to the rest of the thing. They had to read it later when they were sitting down. I'm sure they were dumbfounded by this. And then, because no one approached God as daddy, ever. In fact, Muslims to this day don't even think of the name Father for God. You know, there's that old story, they have 99 names for God. Did you know that the Muslims have 99 names for God? Not one of them is Father. Terrible. They'll never have the right mindset to go to God. Because God is so holy and big and mighty and all that. So we have to go to him like that. Okay, now, the next thing we go to our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is the word that means, I'm going to go through this quickly because we'll be here for a while, right? But hallowed is a word, it's a thing that you put in the ultimate place. So the word hallowed is a word for praise, and what we did is singing a song. We sing, we elevate and worship God, put him in the high ultimate place where nothing but God should be. See, what we do is we put other things in that ultimate place sometimes, and we don't put God there. So we've got to take everything out of our lives that's not in the ultimate place and put it only God there. God alone is the ultimate thing we worship. Because we're always worshiping. We learned that 2 weeks ago, right? We're always worshiping. We cannot not worship. No matter what you're doing, you're always worshiping. You're worshiping something. Always. That's the way God created us to be. So get rid of all the things that aren't God and put God in the ultimate. Hallowed be thy name alone. Right? Worship. So the first thing, our. Second thing, daddy. Third thing, worship. The order is so important here because Jesus never said. Every time on Sunday, I want you to say the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, we do it every Sunday, don't we? Now, I'm going to let you know a secret here. I have never forgotten to do the Lord's Prayer in this church, ever. Right, Dan? Mm-hmm. You think I have, right? Sometimes I skip the Lord's Prayer. I get in a lot of trouble for that. And I'm okay with that because I'm not doing something that God didn't tell me to do. If you don't tell me to do it, then I'll do it, right? But I just kind of, the reason I think that's so important is because we're not commanded to say the Lord's Prayer as a prayer, rote prayer, rote prayer. We don't even know what we're saying half the time when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, right? Because it's so rote. It's like, boom, 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 say it, right? Well, it's a beautiful prayer. It's an important prayer. It's good to say the prayer. But more importantly, it's important to pray the structure of the prayer. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're doing the structure of prayer. So we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer, by the way. So I want you to get the structure before you get the rote memory of that. I want you to know what you're doing. Our Daddy. Worship. And then, what's the next one? It's the hardest one. Does anybody know the word prayer? Come. It's thy kingdom come. Now we talked, this is the focus we had Sunday, but thy kingdom come is extremely important. The order is everything Jesus is talking about. You have to start there and then you go to submission. Whatever you say, God, whatever you say. Now it's not more than, it's more than just saying, hey, I want to do everything you command. And you say, thy will be done. I'm going to submit to your will. I'll do everything you say. More than that. You're also saying, I will submit to anything you bring my way, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. I was just talking to a guy this week who very, very successful business guy, multi-millionaire. His son was in a tragic accident. He had five girls, one boy. And the one boy was killed. The chainsaw accident has gotten out of here. Hasn't gotten out of here. He is successful business. The FBI came in and they slapped him with 21 felonies. He got out of most of them, all of them, except for one. And he has a felony on his record now. So, he thinks he did nothing wrong. My point of telling you that is, here's a guy who had it all. He cannot get over the fact that these things happened to him. And he lost this in person, and this person, his brother just died. Somebody else just died. And he never got over it. Never. Because he didn't know what it meant, thy will be done. Because he didn't know what hallowed be thy name was. And he didn't know what Abba meant. And he didn't know you can't get over some things unless you understand who you're talking to and who you are. So you can submit to somebody who you know loves you, like an intimate child, and you can know that he thinks about you all the time, And he loves you, so you can trust him, because he died for you. The cross covers your sins. But God who died for you, how can you not trust God? With no matter what he brings your way. No matter what he brings your way. Look at the book of Job. It's the hardest book for you to read. The book of Job tells you, Job just went through it, and it says that he never sinned against God. He never did. He had everything taken from him. All of his possessions were gone, and his whole family, all seven, ten of his children. Everything gone. So he said, thy will be done. So before you ask for anything, you have to say, I submit myself to you. Thy will be done on earth as you have in heaven. See how this prayer is structured? And then you get to the great theological part of the prayer. Give me prayer. So then you start asking for things. But you can't ask for things until you already submitted that thy will be done. You see? So important. Thy will be done. And then, now we have these requests. But you don't have to answer them according to our desire, but you answer them according to thy will, right? Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day, our daily bread. How often do we feel like we're not getting our daily bread? It's not just food. Every need that we ever had, emotionally, physically, psychologically, everything was okay. Right? because you've already submitted it. It's okay. Whenever he brings our way, you can take it, no matter what it is. Okay? Thy will be done on earth as it will give us this day our daily bread. And then there's the rest of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Death, sins. Now, that you got to go to Matthew 18. That's your homework tonight. Matthew 18 is the chapter in the Bible where the whole chapter is dedicated to knowing about forgiveness. There's the greatest story about the king who had a subject who was another king, a smaller king, who owed him over $1 billion. He'll never be able to pay it back. And the king, King begs to have his debt removed, and remember, he removed the debt. But then he would turn around and somebody owed him like $30,000 and said, I want my money back. It's small, probably smaller than that. And he choked him and threw him in jail. Jesus is telling this story and saying, because you don't understand how much debt you've been forgiven, you have to forgive everybody, because nobody is going to owe you as much as you owe me. God says, you owe me more than you'll ever be able to pay. So you can't hold a grudge against anybody. You can't not forgive. If you hold forgiveness in your, like, unforgiveness in your heart, it will kill you, because you will be tortured, sent to the jail to be tortured, it says. So will it be anyone who does not forgive his brother from his heart. You will be tortured. It will hurt you. Believe me, it's hard to forgive some people, right, Jim? Very difficult. I'm not saying this is easy. This takes Holy Spirit power, grace to do that. Some people have heard this tremendously. Forgive us. We need to forgive those. And then lead us. Lead us. He's going to lead us. He promises to lead us. He promises to lead us. Lead us to where? Not into temptation. Now that word temptation is a very purposely a dual meaning word. It means test, and it also means tempt in the Greek. He's using that word on purpose because he wants you to know that every test is actually, it could be taken to a temptation, and everything's a test. And I'll give you one story and we'll close. This is a true story. There was a guy, this was about 30 years ago. 30 years ago, this guy was driving in a dirt road in the back way. This little boy was out on the road, and he hit a little boy in the country. And this little boy, he got so scared, he left. And the little boy, he died in the dark. They did all the investigation, the fire marshals, whatever. They found this guy, and he went to jail for life. And I think it was 2020, they went into this jail and they asked him, what in the world were you thinking about? And he says, I've been in this jail for 10 years and I've been thinking about it every day of my life. He said, Here's what happened. My dad, in the top drawer of his dresser, he had it wrapped in a cloth, the most precious possession in their family that was passed on from generation to generation was this priceless watch. And he showed all these, he had five brothers, and six of them lined them up. He said, don't you ever touch this thing. So what did he do? One day he was so curious, he went into his dad's and he pulled it out, and as soon as he pulled it out, it went to the floor and it broke. So he put it back in his left, put it back in his drawer. Boom. Pretend like nothing happened. Well, one day his dad discovered it, and he was so mad. He lined up all the kids. Who did this? And of course, nobody said anything. So I think everybody got in trouble, but it went away. And he realized at that moment, he said, that was a test. That was a test in my life. And I failed that little test. And I failed a bunch of more little tests in my life, but when I got to the big test, I hit this boy, I failed the biggest test at all. in one way. So you learn from the little test in life. And he said, I believe everyone's going through tests every day. Everyone. You have little tests every day. Are you passing the test? Are you failing the test? But they're tests. What are tests for? They kind of, you take a test and you, the pop quiz, you know how it was. You fail that pop quiz. What happens? It shows you where you are. Are you getting it or are you not getting it? Every test is there because God does not tempt. But God tests all the time. The Bible's clear that God never tempts us. The enemy tempts us. But God does test us. Everything's a test. Everything. So you going through tests in your life right now? How are you doing? Well, those are there to remind you how desperately we need God. And to do the right thing as we go along. So lead us not into temptation. These are tests that happen that will cause us, what? To be tempted to the point where we will be led by evil, to do evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, God. Don't let us go through the tests of life so much that would lead us into a place of evil. Keep us safe. See, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we have, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God's kingdom is in charge. He's in all control of everything. So you see how you pray now? Just a structure. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer right now. And they'll love when we do it really slowly, right? He wants us to do it really slowly. Because you got to capture every word. Because when you do it so much, you forget that you just don't. You miss it. But one of my assignments for all my confirmants is I want you to rewrite the Lord's Prayer. That'll be your assignment. Read Matthew 18 about forgiveness. And then write your own prayer. Because it should become a normal part of our prayer life. First of all, our. We're in this together, right? Our. We're family. Father. Dad. Look at that. Right there you want. Hallowed be your name. Your name is so holy above all things. And he puts you back in the holy place. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is, your will, whatever you say goes. Give us this day. Lord, we have all these needs. We've already said, you're in charge, whatever you say, but here's my needs. We're struggling, we're hurting, cancer, difficult, broken relationship, death, disease, hunger, abandonment, pain. Somebody hit my car. But you know what I'm saying? Anything's going on in me. God wants to hear it. Just like you want to hear your child, whatever they do, you want to hear it. Nothing is too small for God. I have some people say, I would never ask for anything for me. I would ask for something for somebody else. That's not his friend. God cares about every detail of your life. Every detail. So pray for needs. Big job. Right? You got a big need. Let's pray and ask God, will be done, but we ask that we get the job. Okay. But when we don't, or we do, it must be God's will, so that it is. So you see, you're submitting, but yet you're trusting. And you're asking. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. We did that in our Bible study. That's a great verse. Ask, seek, knock. That means you have to intentionally remember there are things for us to do. But we do it with an expectation that God is better than we're in control. He's got it. All right? Are we going to pray differently the rest of Lent? What do we think? Let's stand and let's pray the Lord's Prayer very slowly. Go by my pace, okay? Go my pace, not yours. It's going to be uncomfortable. But try to think about what the words are. Our. Who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.